Thanks, guys. Tim, alcoholic. Tim. We are on page 122, The Family Afterward. After what? After recovery. Our women folk have suggested certain attitudes a wife may take with the husband who is recovering. Perhaps they created the impression that he is to be wrapped in cotton wool and placed on a pedestal. Successful readjustment means the opposite. All members of the family should meet upon the common ground of, and these are all assets, tolerance, understanding, and love. This involves a process of deflation. Deflation, what kind of deflation?
Ego
deflation, right? Smashing of ego is a primary concern in the program, because ego leads to selfish, self-centered behavior. The alcoholic, his wife, his children, his in-laws, each one is likely to have fixed ideas about the family's attitude towards himself or herself. So fixed ideas are what? Closed-mindedness. It means you're not willing to change, not look at something differently. What's the whole purpose of the program? Is to look at something completely differently, a complete 180. Each is interested in having his or her wishes respected. We find the more one member of the family demands that the others concede to him, the more resentful they become. This makes for discord and unhappiness. So, yet another example of selfish, self-centered behavior leads to discord and unhappiness. And why? Is it not because each wants to play the lead? Is not each trying to arrange the family show to his liking? Is he not unconsciously trying to see what he can take from the family life rather than give? Those are all selfish, self-centered behaviors. That's an attitude problem. Cessation of drinking is but the first step away from a highly strained, abnormal condition. A doctor said to us, years of living with an alcoholic is almost sure to make any wife or child neurotic. The entire family is, to some extent, ill. Let families realize as they start their journey that all will not be fair weather. Each in his own turn may be footsore and may straggle. I underline this. There will be alluring shortcuts and bypaths down which they may wander and lose their way. And I've interpreted that to mean to go back to our shortcomings, to go back to our character defects, to not have left them, but not be willing to really work on them, to be stagnant on them. Right? And that would come from relying on self rather than a higher power. Because if we are beyond human aid, then we can't depend on ourself to do this. Suppose we tell you some of the obstacles a family will meet. Suppose we suggest how they may be avoided, even converted to good use for others. So our worst story, the biggest soap opera you can tell somebody else, can be converted to the good use for others. So it's actually an asset once we start to work on the program. The thing we were most ashamed of, that we thought we were most weak-willed about, can be used to the benefit of others. The family of an alcoholic longs for the return of happiness and security. They remember when father was romantic, thoughtful, and successful. Today's life is measured against that of other years, and when it falls short, the family may be unhappy. Family confidence in dad is rising high. The good old days will soon be back, they think. Sometimes they demand that dad bring them back instantly. God, they believe, almost owes this recompense on a long overdue account. But the head of the house has spent years in pulling down the structures of business, romance, friendship, health. These things are now ruined or damaged. It will take time to clear away the wreck. Though old buildings will eventually be replaced by finer ones, the new structures will take years to complete. Father knows he is to blame. It may take him many seasons of hard work to be restored financially, but he shouldn't be reproached. Perhaps he will never have much money again, but the Wise family will admire him for what he is trying to be rather than what he is trying to get. Now and then the family will be plagued by specters from the past, for the drinking career of almost every alcoholic has been marked by escapades, funny, humiliating, shameful, or tragic. The first impulse will be to bury these skeletons in a dark closet and padlock the door. The family may be possessed by the idea that future happiness can be based only upon forgetfulness of the past. So that's sort of a denial issue, right? It didn't really happen. Just block it out. We think that such a view is self-centered and in direct conflict with the new way of living. And why would that be? First of all, honesty. Second, we now that we're in recovery, us using that past to the benefit of others is really our purpose. Henry Ford once made a wise remark to the effect that experience is the thing of supreme value in life. That is true only if one is willing to turn the past to good account, using it for somebody else's benefit. We grow by our willingness to face and rectify errors and convert them into assets. The alcoholic's past thus becomes the principal asset of the family. Let's read that again. The alcoholic's past thus becomes the principal asset of the family, and frequently it is almost the only one. How so, you ask? This painful past may be of infinite value to other families still struggling with their problem. So the whole premise here, and we're talking about the family afterwards, the whole premise here is that everybody gets on board with a spiritual path, right? So we'll assume that the spouse is on some form of the 12 steps, whether they're doing their own sort of version of it, and you could, or they're in Al-Anon. That would be, there's a wonderful thing, you know? We think each family which has been relieved owes something to those who have not. And when the occasion requires, each member of it, children, spouse, in-laws, should be only too willing to bring former mistakes, no matter how grievous, out of their hiding places. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. I say the thing all the time, brain surgeons have nothing on us, right? We're working on heavy-duty stuff. It is possible to dig up past misdeeds so they become a blight, a veritable plague. For example, we know of situations in which the alcoholic or his wife have had love affairs. In the first flush of spiritual experience, they forgave each other and drew closer together. The miracle of reconciliation was at hand. Then, under one provocation or another, the aggrieved one would unearth the old affair and angrily cast its ashes about. A few of us have had these growing pains, and they hurt a great deal. One of the first that we know about is Eddie Riley. Eddie Riley could have been AA number 3. He missed the boat. But he lived with Dr. Bob and Ann Smith, and he actually had some mental issues in addition to booze. And it turned out the wife was also living at the house, and the wife had an affair. And after him going through the initial process of the program and whatnot, you know, everybody felt like spiritual giants, so she thought it was a good idea, you know, to be honest and to tell about this affair, and it caused like a whole rigmarole that was completely unnecessary, probably a little bit too early in the game, and maybe something that shouldn't have been brought up at all. You know, run it by your sponsor first, and, you know, five other people. So, husbands and wives have sometimes been obliged to separate for a time until new perspective, new victory over hurt pride could be rewon. In most cases, the alcoholic survived this ordeal without relapse, but not always. So we think that unless some good and useful purpose is to be served, past occurrences should not be discussed. So as I said, Eddie Riley went out, and he could have died, but he got lucky. He showed back up at Dr. Bob's funeral in 1950, and I think he had a year's sobriety at that time. So, and in actuality, I saw his obit, and he had stayed intimately involved in the helping of other alcoholics. Some of the verbiage in the article was non-AA, but he was involved in a lot of work with selfless work with alcoholics. We families of alcoholics keep few skeletons in the closet. Everyone knows about the other's alcoholic troubles. This is a condition which, in ordinary life, would produce untold grief. There might be scandalous gossip, laughter at the expense of other people, and a tendency to take advantage of intimate information. Among us, these are rare occurrences. We do talk about each other a great deal, but we almost invariably temper such talk by a spirit of love and tolerance. So those are assets that we want to strive for. Another principle we observe carefully is that we do not relate intimate experiences of another person unless we are sure he would approve. We find it better, when possible, to stick to our own stories. A man may criticize or laugh at himself, and it will affect others favorably. But criticism or ridicule coming from another often produces the contrary effect. Members of a family should watch such matters carefully, for one careless, inconsiderate remark has been known to raise the very devil. We alcoholics are sensitive people. Yeah, we know that. It takes some of us a long time to outgrow that serious handicap. Many alcoholics are enthusiasts. They run to extremes. At the beginning of recovery, a man will take, as a rule, one of two directions. He may either plunge into a frantic attempt to get his feet in business, that's one direction, or he may be so enthralled by his new life that he talks or thinks of little else. In either case, certain family problems will arise. With these, we had experience galore. So the enthralled by his new life would be, you know, AA this, spirituality this. So financial was the first one, and spiritual being the other, but almost using the word spiritual with a small s, like inappropriate extremism, right? We think it dangerous if he rushes headlong at his economic problem. The family will be affected also, pleasantly at first, as they feel their money troubles are about to be solved. Then, not so pleasantly, as they find themselves neglected. Dad may be tired at night and preoccupied by day. He may take small interest in the children and may show irritation when reproved for his delinquencies. If not irritable, he may seem dull and boring, not gay and affectionate as the family would like him to be. Mother may complain of inattention. They are all disappointed and often let him feel it. Beginning with such complaints, a barrier arises. He is straining every nerve to make up for lost time. He is striving to recover fortune and reputation and feels he is doing very well. Sometimes mother and children don't think so. Having been neglected and misused in the past, they think father owes them more than they are getting. They want him to make a fuss over them. They expect him to give them the nice times they used to have before he drank so much, and to show his contrition for what they suffered. But Dad doesn't give freely of himself. Resentment grows. Number one offender, right? For the family and for the alcoholic, right? Resentment grows. He becomes still less communicative. Sometimes he explodes over a trifle. The family is mystified. They criticize, pointing out how he is falling down on his spiritual program. This sort of thing can be avoided. Both father and the family are mistaken, though each side may have some justification. It is of little use to argue and only make the impasse worse. The family must realize that Dad, though marvelously improved, is still convalescing. They should be thankful he is sober and able to be of this world once more. Let them praise his progress. Let them remember that his drinking wrought all kinds of damage that may take long to repair. If they sense these things, they will not take so seriously his periods of crankiness, depression, or apathy, which will disappear when there is tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. So those character defects, crankiness, depression, apathy, could also call them shortcomings, can be helped to disappear when you mirror tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. The head of the house ought to remember that he is mainly to blame for what befell his home. He can scarcely square the account in his lifetime, but he must see the danger of over-concentration on financial success. Although financial recovery is on the way for many of us, we found we could not place money first. For us, material well-being always followed spiritual progress. It never preceded. So I think that's a great message to us there, and that's something we hear in the rooms all the time. Whatever we put before our sobriety, we lose, right? And then the idea that I think of the paragraph before that, maybe the paragraph even before that, is the concept of balance. Since the family has suffered more than anything else, it is well that a man exert himself there. He is not likely to get far in any direction if he fails to show unselfishness and love under his own roof. We know there are difficult wives and families, but the man who is getting over alcoholism must remember he did much to make them so. So if we were looking at our fourth step sheet, and maybe you have a resentment over your spouse, you'd be real concentrating on columns 4 and 5, what was our part in the shenanigans, right? The story about how your spouse, you know, is mean to you isn't nearly as important or as interesting or as valuable as your part in that. As each member of a resentful family begins to see his shortcomings, meaning your own shortcomings, and admits them to others, he lays a basis for a helpful discussion. These family talks will be constructive if they can be carried out without heated argument, self-pity, self-justification, or resentful criticism. Little by little, mother and children will see they ask too much, and father will see he gives too little. I underline this. Giving rather than getting will become the guiding principle. So all of the examples that we had seen up here where it seemed very justified that the spouse or the children were saying, yeah, but what about me, would be an example of selfish, self-centered. But that doesn't let the other person off the hook for lack of balance, right? So that now up to this point, we've only talked about getting back into our financial soundness, right? We haven't talked about extremism in the program, extremism in our spiritual conversation, right? We're going to do that now. Assume, on the other hand, that father has, at the outset, a stirring spiritual experience. Overnight, as it were, he is a different man. He becomes a religious enthusiast. He is unable to focus on anything else. As soon as his sobriety begins to be taken as a matter of course, the family may look at their strange new dad with apprehension, then with irritation. There is talk about spiritual matters morning, noon, and night. He may demand that the family find God in a hurry or exhibit amazing indifference to them and say he is above worldly considerations. He may tell mother, who has been religious all her life, that she doesn't know what it's all about and that she had better get his brand of spirituality while there is yet time. When father takes this tack, the family may react unfavorably.
You think?
They may be jealous of a God who has stolen dad's affections. While grateful that he drinks no more, they may not like the idea that God has accomplished the miracle where they failed. They often forget father was beyond human aid. They couldn't have fixed it. Impossible. Key point. A real alcoholic cannot be fixed by human aid. They may not see why their love and devotion did not straighten him out. Dad is not so spiritual after all, they say. If he means to right his past wrongs, why all this concern for everyone in the world but his family? What about his talk that God will take care of them? They suspect father is a bit balmy. He is not so unbalanced as they might think. Many of us have experienced dad's elation. We have indulged in spiritual intoxication, like a gaunt prospector, belt drawn in over the last ounce of food, our pick struck gold. Joy at our release from a lifetime of frustration knew no bounds. Father feels he has struck something better than gold. I underline this. For a time, he may try to hug the new treasure to himself. It's a mistake. He may not see at once that he has barely scratched a limitless load, which will pay dividends only if he minds it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. We'll stop there tonight.